Good evening, everybody. Welcome. It's nice to have you with us. Suddenly got cold again, eh? Who's here for the first time? Welcome. 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 All right. I want to start off by reading you a scripture. It's a very important scripture. We're busy talking on understanding curses, understanding what they are, how they work, how they come into our life, and how to deal with them. Now, some of you might think to yourself, this is a very strange thing to look at, because let's look at the scripture, and then I'll tell you why. Proverbs 26, verse 2. Like a fluttering sparrow or a darting swallow, an undeserved curse does not come to rest. The Old King James Version says, a curse without a cause shall not come to light. Now, when we read something like that, we have to be careful to read everything, not just what makes sense to us. And I'm going to explain it to you. There's a lot of Christians that will read that as a curse does not come to light. How do I know that? Because I've had many Christians argue with me, saying to me that, Rion, you must be talking nonsense because I'm a Christian, I can't be cursed. In other words, they are reading that as a curse does not come to light, but it says an undeserved curse does not come to light. It never says that a curse cannot come. If you look for it, it'll come. It's in the New Testament that the Word of God gives us a warning. Give the devil no place. Now, what if you give him a lot of place and he comes into your life? Is it then right for you to be upset with God that you got all these problems in your life? Or should you look at your own life and the things that you brought into your life to find out why you got the problems that you got? Proverbs 26 verse 2 says, the B version, an undeserved curse does not come to rest. Now, here's some good news for you. If a curse is not deserved, then it doesn't have place, then it will not rest upon you, which is good news. Praise God for that. That's what protects us from idiots out there cursing us left, right, and center, and that's what stops those curses from destroying our lives. But now we also have to look at it from the other point of view. If an undeserved curse will not come, then it stands to reason that a curse that is deserved will come. Can Christians do something to bring a curse upon themselves? Let's ask the question. You know, a lot of people get very upset when we talk about these things, and you know what, if you want to get upset with me, fine. But I still have to teach you the truth. Yes, we do. We bring things into our life that curse our life. Now, I want to ask the question, but what is a curse then? Because you see, we come from a sort of first world country where we don't like to talk about these weird and wonderful things. You know, we try and make like, if we don't go there, it won't come after us. If we don't talk about it, the less we know about it, the better, you know. But that's not right. Listen to me carefully. Jesus, wherever he went, confronted the devil, put him in his place, sorted him out, gave the people victory over him, and moved on. We can't live our lives any differently. If you have some devil messing around in your life, the only way for you to get victory is for you to confront the thing and deal with him, put him in his place, and live in victory over him. Not dealing with him is not going to take away the problem. And let me get you to understand something. You can't drink away a devil. Hello? You'll destroy yourself, and he'll be laughing at you, but he's going to go nowhere. There's a lot of things people do to try and get rid of the oppression that is in their lives because of some evil spirit or some curse. The only way to deal with a curse is to deal with it biblically. And there is only one that can give you victory over the forces of darkness. 1 John 3 verse 8, for this reason the Son of God was made manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. The devil will never destroy the works of the devil. He will only suck you deeper into the pit. But when you come to Jesus, he's the only one that can give you victory over whatever it is that is giving you a hard time at that point in your life. So let's ask the question, but what is a curse then? The first thing that you have to understand, when we're talking about a curse, we are talking about something supernatural. We are not talking about a person. All right, so your mother-in-law is not a curse, hello? And if you are a mother-in-law, yeah, that's good news for you. Your boss is not a curse. Your son's girlfriend is not a curse. A curse is something supernatural. It is a supernatural force, a supernatural entity that works in your life to bring about some form of destruction. It can work in the area of finances. Let's see. How does a financial curse work? I need a volunteer. You can come and volunteer quickly. I'll show you how a financial curse works. Yeah, I have, let's use the 50 rand. Yeah, I have 50 rand in my hand. If I want to bless him with 50 rand, it should be, I want you to hold your hands out like that. This is the sort of universal sign for, I need something, isn't it? Two hands held out. Now, if I was to bless him with 50 rand, it's his. He can receive it. I like your attitude. Never change that. Now you, that one put in your pocket, now it's yours. Now he has to just work with the 20 rand, but this is somebody that is not cursed. There is the ability to receive the blessing when the blessing is loosed. And never forget that God is a father who wants to always bless his children. The plans he has for you is to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope and to give you a future. When a curse starts coming into his life, it's going to do this to his hands. It's going to close them. That doesn't mean that the blessing is not going to come. It still comes in exactly the same way, but instead of falling into the hands where it can be absorbed and taken, it falls through the fingers. It falls around because the hands have been closed. So when you live under a curse, please understand. Thank you. They get the idea. Now you keep it. I'm blessing you. The bottom line is this. When you live under a curse, it doesn't mean that God has stopped blessing you. Because he can't stop blessing you. It's not in his nature to stop blessing you. And I want to say something to you. There's nothing that you can ever do that's going to make God stop blessing you. Don't you understand the purpose of a father? A father's heart is to bless. The father's heart, God, our father's heart is to bless. He will always bless you. But sometimes the things you do bring you under a curse that starts removing you from his blessing, but it doesn't stop him from blessing you. The blessing is still available to you. All we have to do is get the hands to open up again so that they can receive. Do you understand that? So a curse is a supernatural force that works in on us in a specific area. Often it has got power in an area, like maybe in the area of finances, maybe in the area of relationships, maybe in the area of thinking. I'll give you another example. Let's say you have done something that has brought a curse to start working on your mind. When it comes to thinking up bad things, you are brilliant. When it comes to making decisions that is going to bless you, you are pathetic. Your mind always seems to wander in the direction of something that's going to definitely burn your fingers. So when you must make an investment, you will always be making an investment in something that is guaranteed to fail. But you think to yourself, oh, this is, oh, what an opportunity. Then somebody comes to you with the real deal. Oh, no, this is not going to work for me. That curse is sitting there. It wants to rob you. Remember, the thief came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So it has to find a way to do that. You understand? It has to find a way to do that. So it works against us. Proverbs 26 verse 2. Like a fluttering sparrow or a darting swallow, an undeserved curse does not come to rest. Today we need to talk about the things that we get involved in that open us up for the curse to actually come to rest. You can't get rid of it until you can't confess your involvement. Do you understand? The Bible says if we confess our sins before God, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. You can't be cleansed of something until you haven't confessed it to God. And a lot of people don't confess things to God. They won't acknowledge that they've got these things. And the only way for me to get you to understand that is for me to teach you what the Word of God says about these things. Tonight I want to share with you a message that probably some of you will feel this is more for the younger generation. But let me help you to understand something. All of us was young at some point of time. And we've all opened ourselves up to this one. Let me start by asking you this question. Who of you believe that laws are necessary? All right. Let's look at the laws of our country. I'll give you a stupid example. Traffic laws. In traffic, it says that you have to stop at a stop street and you have to stop at a red light. Now, I know for some of you that's a real big irritable factor in your life. But imagine if everybody felt the way that you felt. That, well, you know what, stop streets are just a suggestion. Everybody just passes every stop street. Everybody just drives over every red robot. Will you get to work tomorrow morning if that's the way everybody treats the laws of this country? No, you won't. In other words, if we start disobeying laws, we will have utter chaos because they actually add structure to our lives. Even though we don't like them, they make it easier for us and they protect us. Now, it's exactly the same when we look at the kingdom of God. There are certain laws that have been given by God, and whether you like it or not, they are not there to keep you in. They are there to protect you. I think if you were here a couple of weeks ago, I spoke a little bit about this and I shared with you that scripture says that when we break through a hedge, we will be bitten by a snake. Or he that breaks through a wall will be bitten by a serpent. What are the walls? The walls are the things that God has said, don't go here, don't go there. Are there certain things in the Bible that we are told don't do this? Give me an example. Thou shalt not steal. All right? But then the 10,000 rand lies there, and you know that if you take it, there's 50 people in the room, so it's going to be very difficult for them to prove who it was. So probably in the end, they're just going to have to let it go. You take it, and you think you got away with it. But what you don't know is you've just broken through a hedge. On the other side of that hedge was a serpent, and it's bitten you. You might not feel the effect of the poison today. You might not even feel it tomorrow. But can I make you a promise? You're going to feel it. And you've got 10,000 rand in your pocket, but it's probably going to cost you 100,000 rand to get out of this dwelling. Because that thing is going to suck the life out of you. Do you understand? So here's the thing. We have laws in this country to protect us. If we look at science, who of you knows the chemical composition of water? Can you still remember it? H2O. You did not bunk that day. I'm proud of you. H2O, which means two hydrogen molecules, one oxygen molecule, put them together, you have water. That's amazing. Why can we drink water? Because that's the way it will always be. The way God made this earth, the earth is structured by the laws that God put there. Imagine if you just got water once every 20 times, like going to a casino and pulling the one-arm bandit. Like you put your money in, but you'd never know what you're gonna get back. It's like I'm gonna take my cup and I'm gonna hold it under the tap and I hope that water comes out this time, you know. So maybe I can drink it this time. The fact that you can drink water is because water will always be water. It's not gonna taste like this one day and taste like that another day. It's water. Coffee. Does anybody like coffee? Yeah, a lot of people like me in this place. I like coffee. And you know why I like coffee? Because if I make my coffee in the same proportions, it tends to taste the same time after time after time. Imagine if the first time you make coffee, it's sweet, the second time it's bitter, the third time it's sour, the fourth time it's salty. And after that, it just tastes weird. You could never get me to drink that coffee because I don't know what I'm going to get. It's like, no, keep that for yourself. But the fact that if we do it in the same proportions, we get the same result. There's a law at work. There's some science involved. And that's why we like it. That's why we need it. And then we know that there are spiritual laws. She said just now, one of the laws that God has given us is thou shalt not steal. Let me give you another law, a spiritual law. You've probably heard this said, it said that what you sow, you will reap. Let's talk about that. It's in the Bible, but is it also true for human life? Imagine if I treat you like a dog. I yell at you, I shout at you, I curse you, I break you down, I belittle you. I do all sorts of things to disrespect you. Would you feel the need to respect me? No. You won't. Why not? Because what I'm sowing into you is what I'm going to reap out of you. If you want people to treat you with kindness, you have to come to a place that you treat them with kindness. It's the same with love. If you want somebody to love you, you better give them love. You can't give them hatred and despise them and break them down and destroy them, but expect them to love you in return. What you put into a relationship is what you will get out of a relationship. Do you understand that? In other words, yes, the Bible is true. What you sow is what you will reap. Treat people with kindness and kindness will begin to come back to you. Treat people like dogs and somebody's going to start treating you like a dog somewhere in the future. And I want to warn you about something. I was speaking to a couple of people about this in this week. I think this is something that a lot of people misunderstand. Let's talk about sowing and reaping. You know, the church likes to use the whole sowing and reaping thing when they talk about finances, but it goes a lot deeper than finances. The way you treat people is what's going to come back to you. The things you do in your life is what's going to come back to you. And this is the thing, everything we do, the way I speak to you, the way I treat you, what I say about you to other people, everything I do, my attitude, I'm putting seed into the ground. I'm putting seed into the ground. This Paula, she's a very nice lady. But what if I have some issue with her and I'm spending some time with him and I'm starting to gossip about her and she doesn't really deserve it. But now I begin to climb into her character and I begin to break her down. What am I doing? I'm sowing something. But the fact that I'm speaking badly about her, unjustifiably so, means I'm putting what we call bad seed into the ground. Now here's the thing with seed. Once you've put it into the ground, you can't take it back. It's been sown. And here's the thing with sowing a seed. It doesn't come up immediately. Some seeds wait for a certain season. Some seeds wait for a certain time of the year. Some seeds wait for the first rains. Some seeds wait for the fire to go over them. There's a lot of different variables, but I want to tell you one thing. The seed has been put into the ground and that seed is evil. So at some point in time in my future, I want to warn you, I'm going to get a hiding, a big one. Because what's going to come up is going to work against me. What I released against her is going to come back to me. Now, just to make you think a little bit. You know, everything that reaps, everything that you reap is always much more powerful than what you put in. Do you know why we have farmers in this country? Because they can actually make a good living from farming. If you think about it, when you take one kernel of millet, one little millipip, and you put it into the ground and it grows, you can get two, maybe three, I don't know, millis. Each can have 1,000 pips on. So one little pip can turn into 2,000. That's a serious increase. Now, if that's good stuff coming back to you, you should be smiling now. But what if that's a whole bunch of bad stuff that you've been putting in there? In other words, the gossip that you put in, which was destructive, let's call it slander, which destroys somebody's life. Let's then just say that you put destruction into the ground. If one word of destruction went into the ground, you can expect up to 1,000 words of destruction to come back for you in your future. And every word of destruction that comes back for you in your future can be fueled by some demon coming against your life. Some of you might start feeling a bit strange right now. Because maybe now you're figuring out why your life battles to go forward. And then the way we treat people. We need to treat people with decency. We need to treat them with kindness. We need to treat them with respect. If we don't, guess what's coming back for us? A lot of problems, a lot of pain. If I hurt you just for the sake of hurting you, guess what's in my future? A lot of hurt. If I steal from you, even though I don't get caught by the police, guess what's going to happen to me in the future? A whole bunch of demons are going to start stealing from me. You know where the problem lies with all of this? It takes time for the seed to come up. I see people every now and then. And then I listen to the lifestyle that they've lived. Then they want to come to me and say, Rian, you know what? My life is falling apart. Pray for me and break every curse. And I wish it was that easy, but I want to say to you it's not. Because some people are simply reaping what they've been sowing for years and years and years, and I can't stop the reaping process. You're going to reap until it's finished. Do you understand? The only way for you to stop the reaping process, stop sowing rubbish. Stop sowing destruction. Stop sowing pain and suffering into other people's lives. Stop speaking slander and hatred and gossip. Let's talk about, I don't want to call it my friend, but I feel like it's my friend because it follows me everywhere. Let's talk about jealousy. When you speak of somebody else and what you say about them is fueled by jealousy, you are sowing a lot of discord, evil, slander, hatred, because that's the stuff that fuels jealousy. Guess what? In 2 or 3 years' time, you're going to come and stand in front of me here and ask me to pray for you because you can't understand why, but nothing goes right and your life is not good and nobody seems to like you and no doors want to open for you. And can I tell you why that's happening to you? I want to take you back 3 years. The stuff you were speaking about me or that person or that person or that person, it's coming back to you. And you know what? I can't deliver you from stupidity. You have to do that yourself. Because if you keep putting the same stuff into the ground, you're going to keep reaping the same rubbish. And the only one that can break the cycle is you. There's a lot of people that want to be delivered from the process of reaping, and we can't deliver you. You must stop putting that seed into the ground, because until you don't stop doing that, it's just not going to turn. Nothing will change. Do you understand that? Now, that is a law. God put it there. You can't change it. It's going to happen. When you assign a law to something, it means that it will always duplicate itself in exactly the same way. It implies that it is unchanging and you can depend on it. Now, there is a law here in the Bible that God gave us sort of for youth, but it speaks to all of us. Let me ask you a question. Who of you would like to have a good life, a blessed life, and be prosperous in whatever you do? Oh yes, oh yes, me too. I like that. Let me show you a scripture. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. The word honor would probably be better described as to respect. Now what God is really saying here is that the way you treat your parents will have a bearing on how your life turns out. If you treat them with respect, you will have a long and a good life. If you treat them with contempt, you will have a short and an unhappy life. Now I want to talk to you about something. I've been in this kind of ministry now for 17 years. I've counseled thousands of people. I've spent hours and hours and hours listening to people explain to me their life, where their life went wrong, where their life is right now, how they are battling, how they are suffering, etc., etc. And you know what? Most of the people that I help are adults. Some of them in their 30s, some of them in their 40s, mature adults. And it's amazing to see how many of them, when I begin to question them, were rebellious as teenagers and were disrespectful towards their parents. Now, I want to say to you again, when we do these things, when we put the seed into the ground, we don't immediately see the effect thereof. So let me put it to you into perspective. I'm 16 years old or 15 years old or whatever the case might be. I have a nice attitude. I actually think the attitude today is a lot worse than it was in my generation. You know, in my generation, there was a good way to deal with rebellion. It was called a snort clap. Twah. You get over it quick. You know, it's like, sorry, Dad. Today, things seem to be different. You know, I don't want to be funny, but I see the way children speak to their parents. I have a feeling I would not have been here if I spoke to my parents the way some kids speak today to their parents, because my dad would have murdered me. And the fault is also sometimes with the parents. And I want to say this again. I have spoken about these things before, but sometimes we just need to quickly look at this again. You are a parent. Act like one. Parents must give boundaries. Parents must lay down the law. Why is it that in so many houses, the children run the house, not the parents? Why is it that in so many houses, when little Yanni or little Sonny says boo or ba, mommy and daddy jump this high? I'm sorry, but there's a big problem there. And if you want problems for your children in the future, you must keep doing that. God called you to be a parent. Too many parents are trying to be their children's best friends. Now think about it. When you were at school, you and your best friend, did they really have your interests at heart? Let's get drunk. Yeah, let's make a plan. Let's bunk school. Yes, I'm on my way. Your friends very seldom helped you out of the dwang. They helped you into it, didn't they? Now you want to have the same relationship with your children? I'm sorry, but that's not going to work. You're supposed to be a parent. That means as a parent, every now and then you're going to have to look them squarely in the eye and say, no. Some parents can't say no to their children. One or two tantrums and it's like, okay, sorry. Okay, yeah, what did you want? Okay, I'll make a plan. You have to lay down the law. You have to give boundaries. We don't do it, we got problems. Now here's the thing. I'm 13, 14, 15, 16 years old. I have a lacquer attitude towards my parents. I tell them where to get off. I think I'm a man or somebody cool when I speak to my parents in a disrespectful way in front of my friends. My friends are all like high-fiving me. Who of you saw this video of the boy at Glen Vista? Ooh, I want to tell you, that boy better listen to my sermon tonight, because he's got something coming for him when he's older. In a big way. Rebellion is a really bad seed to put into the ground. And can I tell you when the rebellion seed germinates and comes up? When you are a mature adult. It doesn't want to do nothing to you when you're a child. It wants you to be rebellious. It's going to wait and wait. It wants you to be more and more and more rebellious. It's not going to do anything against you. It'll wait. And I'm going to show you now why it waits. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6 verse 9, what you sow, you will reap. So how you treat other people is likened to or compared to a farmer sowing seeds into his field. And there are many different types of seeds. Not all of them are good. Some seeds, in fact, are very bad and they are poisonous. And not all seeds grow at the same rate. The more you sow rebellion and contempt and disobedience, the more weeds will begin to grow in the field of your life. And you must remember, a lot of weeds are actually just poison. Here's my scripture for tonight, Proverbs 20, verse 20. Whoever curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be snuffed out in pitch darkness. Whoever curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be snuffed out in pitch darkness. When do you curse your father or your mother? You curse them with your attitude. any of you start thinking about your childhood? Sometimes the way you spoke to your mother. It's not even what you say when they're there. It's what you say to your friends about them when they're not there. Yeah, my mother's such a cow. Oh, the devil loves that. You just sowed a big chocho there into the ground. Guess what? He's going to come for you. He who curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be snuffed out in pitch darkness. Right, I need a volunteer. Who can? Yeah, you can come. There we go. And then I need... Oh, sorry, just give me one of those lapis there, please. Thank you. All right, what's your name again? Etienne. Wow, that's some serious shoes you got there. Blue. They're very blue. Nice. All right. This is Etienne. Okay? The Bible says, he who curses his father and his mother, his lamp will be snuffed out in pitch darkness. Does God have a plan for your life? Does God have a plan for Etienne's life? What is God's plan for Etienne's life? To prosper him and not to harm him, to give him a hope and to give him a future. God has a destiny for him. He's not a mistake. He wasn't put on this earth because God had nothing better to do. And you're not some weird science experiment that went wrong. Well, bless God for that. But you see, the thing is, he first needs to figure out what that is. And that's the problem with most of us. We're tramping around down here on earth and we don't have the foggiest idea why we're really here. We first need to find God, and then once we found God, find out, why did he put me down here? Please come and help me. Come stand this side with me. Let's say, do you believe that you have a destiny?
Yes.
All right, let's say that your destiny, if this was now a blank canvas and you had to plot a course, you could not just plot any course, could you? You would have to find out where God wants you to go. Do you agree with me? Now, let's say you figured out now by now that God wants your life to go in that direction. Go there quickly. There we go. I like that. All right, come back. Did you notice that it's not difficult for him to follow the trajectory and the course of God's call on his life? But let me show you what this curse is going to do to him when he comes under it. Please come and blindfold him for me. What does the curse say? He who curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be snuffed out in pitch darkness. Doesn't the Bible say that the eyes are the lamp of the soul? All right, so now we have to put his lamp out in darkness. Now, before we allow him to go on that road, how many of you know that life is tough? Okay, his girlfriend dumped him. He drank too much at the party. His boss gave him a hard time. Now you must work with me now, son. Come, okay, let's do it this way. There we go. His boss dropped him. His boss gave him a hard time. His mother caught him with Hustler magazine. What else could have happened? He pranked his car. Lots of problems. Right. There we go. Find your destiny, son. Let me just protect my equipment. All right. Pause. Stop. What you just saw this man do is what a lot of you are doing right now. You're groping around in the darkness trying to find your destiny and you can't because your lamp is gone. Dead. Because of rebellion. Rebellion closes your eyes. God can talk to you 1,000 times, but you're never going to see it. Should I put this man out of his misery? No, you're still enjoying it. It's all right, I'll take him out. There we go. Man, you were on the wrong road, weren't you? Proverbs chapter 20, verse 20. Whoever curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be snuffed out in pitch darkness. Now, I actually want to show you this. This to me is not just about cursing your father or your mother. It's about having an attitude of rebellion. It's about having a rebellious attitude, a rebellious nature. The more you rebel, the more you come under this curse. Yes, of course, it's worse when you rebel against your parents. But like I said to you, like this boy at Glen Vista, there's no reason to go on like that. No matter what he comes up with, there's no reason to treat another person, especially somebody that was put in a position of authority over you like that. The Bible says all authority is given by God and should be respected. The moment you disrespect authority, and that's the problem with our youth today, they don't respect authority. You know, I think today to be a teacher is really it's a problem. Yeah, it's a problem. But you see, we also have to educate the young people and get them to understand what's going to happen for them. Let me tell you I'm going to tell you about that now. The purpose of a lamp, the Bible says our lamp will be snuffed out in pitch darkness. The purpose of a lamp is to give us the ability to see. To see means to know where you are going and means to have vision. The Bible also says my people are destroyed for lack of vision. Light is needed for growth. No plant can grow in the absence of light. And the Bible also says in the book of 1 John chapter 1 verse 5, God is light, and within him there is no darkness at all. You see, the more you have rebellion in you, the more your attitude is wrong, the more God is removed from your life. But not God removing himself, you begin to move away from God. Without God's presence, you will have darkness in every area of your life. God hates rebellion. In the Old Testament, rebellious children were stoned to death. For some of you, this might be shocking, but let me give you the scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 18 to 21. If a man has a stubborn and a rebellious son who does not obey his father and mother and will not listen to them when they discipline him, his father and mother shall take hold of him and bring him to the elders of the gate of his town. They shall say to the elders, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is a profligate and a drunkard. And then all the men of the town shall stone him to death. You must purge the evil from amongst you. All Israel will hear of this and be afraid. Suddenly, I'm very glad that I didn't live in that age. We can all thank God we live in different times. But I want to say something to you. If God felt this way about rebellion 4,000 years ago, don't think for one second he's changed his mind. We might live in a different dispensation. We might live under the era of grace, but God still hates rebellion. And if rebellion brought death upon them back then, it'll still bring death upon you now. A lot of people suffer under the spirit of death because they have rebellious hearts. The spirit of death has the right to climb upon you if you have rebelliousness in your heart. And let me tell you something. When the spirit of death climbs upon you, it kills everything you start before it gets going. Every relationship that you try and get going is going to die because your heart is rebellious. Every business that you try and get going is going to falter. Why? Because you've got rebelliousness. In the Old Testament, the result of rebellion was death. Even today, the result of rebellion is death. David committed murder, yet he wasn't punished that bad. Do you hear what I'm saying? This child was killed for rebellion. The punishment for rebellion was worse than what David experienced when he killed the man. Proverbs 20 verse 20. Whoever curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be snuffed out in pitch darkness. It is easy to look at this proverb and say that it is old-fashioned. It is also easy to believe that it sounds a bit harsh and that God would never allow that to happen. But I want you to take a good look as some of the rock icons who millions of people worship, and they all died when they were young. Why? Because a lot of them were very rebellious. They were anti-establishment. They were in your face. They preached rebellion to a young generation. And the Bible says, your lamp will be snuffed out. When I say that your lamp will be snuffed out, don't you believe for one second that it can't mean that your life will be snuffed out. Because sometimes if rebellion is really powerful in somebody, that'll give the spirit of death the power to take them. There you go. You want to dance with the devil? You better understand one thing. He will step on your toes as often as he can. 2 Timothy 3 verse 1. But mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents. There's a warning for you. There will be terrible times ahead. The Word of God gives us insight into the future and into Satan's plans. Satan's downfall was rebellion. He experienced firsthand the effects of that evil thing in his own life. And he knows that the same consequences will have to follow in your life if he can get you to do what he did. The more you give in to Satan's ways, the more powerful he becomes in your life. Proverbs 30 verse 17. Listen carefully. The eye that mocks a father, that scorns disobedience to a mother, will be pecked out by the ravens of the valley, will be eaten by the vultures. The eye that mocks the father. You know when your father talks to you and you're like rolling your eyes and like, what do you know? You know, that's a sign of disrespect. And it's not just your father that gets upset with it, your heavenly father does too. And he gives you a warning. Listen to what he says. The eye that mocks a father, that scorns disobedience to a mother. You know, now and then you speak to a child and then the hatred begins to come out of their eyes. They're like highly indignant at what you're saying to them, etc., etc. We have to be very careful with that attitude. Let me tell you why. We'll be pecked out by the ravens of the valley, we'll be eaten by the vultures. In the Bible, birds are a representation of evil spirits. Did you know that? So what is the Bible telling us here? Even with our eyes, the disrespect that we give to a teacher, the disrespect that we give to a mother or a father or a grandmother, or somebody that is in a position of authority over us that is supposed to help us, guide us, teach us and protect us, if we treat them with disrespect, even just with our eyes, we call evil spirits to start coming into our life. And we suffer. And notice again that it'll attack the eye. What is the purpose of the eye? It's for you to see. Do you know how many people reach the age of, let's say, 30? And they can't see where to go. They cannot plot a course for their life. And everything they do falls apart. You see, here's something I want you to understand. When do you really need vision? You don't need vision when you're 16. You don't need vision when you're 17 or 18, even 19 or 20. Because you're still living with your parents, they pay the rent, they put petrol in the car, you're in their medical aid, they're paying for your studies. You don't need vision. Do you know when you need vision? When you start a family of your own. When you have to begin to fend for yourself. When you must start making decisions for your future. That's when you need vision. That's when this curse kicks in. Because its purpose is to attack your vision. Its purpose is to destroy your vision. And you see, you don't need any of that while you're still living with your parents. And it's not going to mess with you then because you might look for answers. It wants you to be rebellious. It wants you to have that rebellious heart and that rebellious nature. So that one day when you desperately need to hear from God and see where to go, nothing happens for you. Because your eyes have been picked out by the ravens. Because some evil spirit has now attached itself to your eyes, your spiritual eyes. And instead of taking the path that leads to victory, you always take the path that leads to destruction. Instead of taking the door that leads to prosperity, you always take the door that leads to poverty. Instead of going into the relationship that will lead to you being blessed and loved, you always choose the relationship that will lead towards you crying and being abused and hurt. So what's the problem here? Yes, we do have to deal with the birds. We do have to deal with the spirits. We do have to deal with the spirit of death. But the first thing we have to deal with is the rebelliousness that you allowed to come into your heart. Because one of the biggest curses that you can be under is the curse that comes through rebellion. I want to remind you, Satan is who he is today because of rebellion. If it caused him to go from one of God's greatest angels to Satan, what do you think it'll do to you? The world is making a very big thing today about children's rights. And children are in a way encouraged to oppose their parents if they don't agree with the parent and blah, blah, blah. You know what? That's the world. And the world and God will just have to disagree on that one. I'm not saying that parents are always right, but parents are always parents. And according to God, a child better respect their parents. You know what? You are stupid if you tap yourself on the shoulder and say, ooh, the government is on my side, but meanwhile God is against you. Because what's that going to help you one day in the future? I'll tell you what's going to happen to you. One day in the future, you're going to stand in front of a pastor somewhere and say, ooh, I don't know why, but my life goes nowhere. Nothing ever works out for me. So how do we, what am I trying to say to you? A couple of things here. Firstly, if you still have a rebellious nature, because the chances are, if you were rebellious as a teenager, now today when you're 30 years old or 40 years old, you probably still have some rebellion in you. You better deal with it. Because every time you give into it, you call this rubbish back. The ravens come out again. They come pecking at your eyes. Secondly, you better stop putting the seed into the ground, because everything you put into the ground at some point in time is going to come back. You know, I'm 42 now. And if I keep putting bad things into the ground now, by the time I'm 52, I'm still going to be paying for it. At some point in time, the insanity better stop. I want to live a blessed life. But if I want the blessed life, I must start making the right decisions and doing the right things that are conducive to God's blessing to come into my life instead of the curse that I'm living under now. And then, lastly, I need to come before God and acknowledge what I've done. I might not be able to stop the reaping, but I can get rid of the chocho that's sitting on my back right now. It's time for the stupid thing to go. Rebellion is one of the biggest chochos out there. All of us at some point in time rebel. Can I tell you why? Because we all came from Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve never begot any children until they rebelled against God. There's a little rebel in each of us. And if we don't watch it, it wants to come out every now and then. It wants to come out. We must put it down. And we must deal with it. So, is it just our parents that we must respect? No. It goes way beyond just parents. God expects us to treat people with respect. God expects us to treat people with kindness. God expects us to care. Yes, you should honor your father and your mother so that it can be well with you. You should honor your teachers. Hello? Does this make you think? I hope so. Say again? Don't you have a teacher? Oh, her teacher resigned because the class was too disruptive or something. Not a good sign. But in any case, I want you to think about this, what I shared with you tonight, because this is quite serious stuff. Can you be their teacher for a week? You only have to be their teacher for 2 days and they'll all repent, I promise you that. One day. This is not just for young people. This is for all of you, because you're either a young person now or you used to be a young person. And I think a lot of us, if we think back to our youth, we called this thing into our life. And I want to say to you again, it's when you actually want to live your life that these things kick in. That's when suddenly vision is not there when you need vision. That's when doors don't open for you when you need them to open. You know why a lot of people can't figure out why their life goes nowhere? Because you see, this is sort of how it goes. In your teens, you're rebellious and you fight everything and you give your parents a hard time. And then somewhere along the line, 10, 15 years later, you get saved. And now you try and live a righteous life and you try and live a good life and you try and do the right thing and, you know, all the nice things. That doesn't change the fact that you called this stuff. And even doing everything right now is not going to change the fact that this thing is sitting on your back. And it's working against you now. And that's why people come and they say, but Rian, I can't understand this. You know, I've repented. I've changed. I don't go to the clubs anymore. I don't go to the strip clubs anymore. I've stopped dating hookers. And, you know, yeah, good for you. Obviously, that's nobody in this church tonight. Eh? That's another church where I preach. But Rian, you don't understand, and nothing seems to want to work out for me. You see, what if it's got nothing to do with what you're doing now, but what if the problem lies 20 years ago, and it just was never dealt with? I want to teach you something. The Bible says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You still have to resist the rebellion that came when you were young, because if you've never fought him, he's never going to go away. Resist is a verb. That means you must do something. If you don't do something, the thing thinks you like him. Of course he's going to hang around. Of course he's going to hang around. He's going to keep stealing from you. So that's why we first have to get you to the place that you can identify, ooh, I'm sitting with this thing. Then it's your responsibility to acknowledge it. And if you have a lot of pride, you're just going to look at me and say, what do you know? That's your problem. But if you have a humble spirit, you will take this message and say, oh, you know what? I caused big problems when I was younger. I had a serious attitude problem. And this is why today I need to be prayed for. Probably God needs to set you free. Did anybody learn something tonight? Give the Lord a big hand, please. Proverbs 26 verse 2. A curse without a cause shall not come to light. If you call them, they will come. And if you don't deal with them, they won't go away. Tonight is an opportunity for you to deal with them. It's an opportunity for you to acknowledge that you've messed up. Confess your sins before God. He is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Some of us are still battling under the unrighteousness that we brought into ourselves because of our rebellious nature. And we have to let it go. Now, that's not really what I'm talking about tonight, but I also want to say to you, just to make you think, the Bible says in the book of 1 Samuel 15, verse 23, that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. How many of you believe that if you mess with witchcraft, you're going to get a big hiding from God? Well, rebellion is seen by God to be exactly the same, because rebellion and witchcraft are sisters. Did you know that? So, rolling your eyes at your mother in rebellion and defiance, you might as well go to a witch doctor. Well, I know that that's weird, but that's what the Bible says. Because the punishment is going to be the same. Wow. Scary stuff, but true. And that's why rebellion is so destructive. Because if you go to witch doctors and you play with muti and you play with witchcraft, you call big demons into your life. But God sees rebellion in the same light. So the same type of demons come into your life when you are rebellious in your nature and in your character. And I want to say one thing to you, and this is probably, then I'm going to finish. If I am rebellious towards my parents and I am rebellious towards my teachers, then I am rebellious towards authority. And who is the ultimate authority? God. You will become rebellious towards God, whether you like it or not. If you allow a root of rebellion into your heart, ultimately it's going to push you towards rebelling against God. And often you will through disobedience. Do you know that rebellion is in a sense disobedience? If you tell a child, don't do this, and they do that, it's called two things, disobedience and rebellion. So maybe some of you must understand now why you are so often disobedient to God, even though you might not even want to be, because you brought rebellion into your heart and it pushes you towards disobedience. Because the more you disobey, the more you rebel. And you must understand one thing. Every time you disobey God, you're going to get a hiding. You want the hidings to stop, you better change your attitude. Amen? Amen. Good.